Hey everyone, welcome back to the Go Getters podcast brought to you by Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io, and our good friends over at On Milwaukee. Today, I've got a special guest, Pat Miller, the idea coach who has a big conference coming up in Lake Geneva, November 5th through 7th at the Grand Geneva. Very nice place. They got a good golf course there. The Idea Collective Retreat, you can go to smallbizretreat.com for more details. It's November 5th through 7th. Mel Robbins, Jesse Cole. He's letting me speak for whatever reason. So I paid him a lot of money for that opportunity. So Pat Miller's here. Who is Pat Miller? If you don't know, he is a member of the Brookfield Chamber of Commerce Scramble Championship team.
Huge.
With Jeff McCarthy from Bank 5-9 and Brad Herta.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Welcome.
Dominating champions.
I don't know what else I need to say.
I don't know what else you need to say other than a great scramble organizer, not a great scramble partner. You did the ball hitting and, hunting. I just brought the team together.
Most of it. You hit one of the best shots I've ever seen, though. That majestic bomb hybrid on that par 4 to about 2 feet.
Yeah, that was pretty sexy.
An eagle. That iron.
That was good, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good time. And you're the founder of the Idea Collective, community of small business owners. You work with a lot of small business owners. You hear a lot of their problems and issues and help them work through those. So we're going to be talking about a lot of that stuff today. So if you are a small business owner, work in a small business, you'll get a lot of good takeaways out of this. We'll touch on the conference briefly at the end if you're interested in going. But this is more of an episode to help out those small business owners. So Pat, good to see you. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh my gosh. It's so great to be here and thanks for having me.
Oh, I did forget to mention you're also sponsored by Quick Trip.
Oh yes. Love me some Quick Trip.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. Working with Quick Trip and Bank 5-9, man, it's good stuff.
Bank 5-9's good people. Yeah. At least Jeff's a good dude over there and obviously a Brookfield Scramble champion. But Quick Trip, I mean, the fact that you have that sponsorship, I'm very honored to be in your presence today. Okay. So we're going to be giving some tips to help small business owners and debunk a lot of fallacies and myths to running a small business. Let's start with when small business owners are coming up with a concept or even putting a new product out or launching something and not wanting to get pigeonholed or go too narrow.
When they talk about how they're going to make their sales and what they're going to do, a lot of times they think from a scarcity mindset, right? I need to have everyone be my customer. I'm never going to sell enough, so I don't want to cut off any opportunity. So when you talk to someone, well, what are you going to do? I'm going to do the thing. Great. Who are you going to do it for? Oh, well, I want to be able to do it for everybody. Well, why? Well, I don't want to be pigeonholed as X. That's the type of thinking that could get you into trouble. Now, before we get into all this, this is like a big smoothie worth of observations, talking to hundreds of different small business owners. And there might be some stuff that we talk about today that isn't applicable for the person watching, but some of it will. So this concept of not being pigeonholed is the idea of you kind of have to know who you're doing your service for, because if you want to do it for everyone, you probably won't cut through with very many people.
Right. And especially at the beginning, you really want to go as narrow as possible in a certain way, even within whatever you're doing. I know with us as a marketing agency here at GGMM, it was very difficult to stand out for a long time just because there's way too many marketing agencies in this area. Like most businesses that start, they have a lot of competitors. It's hard to come up with something that's so revolutionary, like the product's going to sell itself, which is why it's so important to narrow down in your messaging, in your branding, in your messaging. And then when we came out with our podcast and then started offering it as a service, that opened up a lot of doors. And even though it accounts for 35-ish% of our revenue, it's probably about 90% of what we're known for. And it's just helped us really stand out. And no one was doing that here at that point in time. So it's like in the marketing agency world, it's important. Like if I was starting from scratch from the beginning, I would have specialized in like a specific vertical, like be the best digital marketing agency for fucking metal stamping companies or something like that, just owning everything and speaking the language and going to those trade shows, or specializing in a product like, okay, we're just going to own podcasting. That's unique in doing that. Or Google Ads is pretty you know, a lot of people do that. But hey, if you're number one and you're the best at that and you just own that and that's all you do, you can win that way. So anyway, that's my experience as a marketing agency owner, but very applicable. Like, what can you be the best at? The best in, you could say, the world or your world, which can be geographically, wherever you're located, instead of, you know, trying whatever. And sometimes you need to do stuff to find out what really sticks and what you're really good at. But I think getting as narrow as possible, as quick as it makes sense as a business owner, is important.
And I think you said it right. That way you can get known for something. No one was doing podcasting when you started to do it. You became known as the marketing agency that has the podcast, which now has become, we're the marketing agency. And oh yeah, we also have a podcast. So you became known for doing what you're doing. And when people are starting out, to take it back to that, the pigeonhole question comes up then, because they want to keep all of their opportunities open. What's great about starting out with a small business is you don't have to launch a $1 million business on day one.
Second thing, the quote, so many people got so obsessed and infatuated with Simon Sinek's Start With Why.
Great
book. And it is a great video. Yeah.
Brilliant.
You did a good job. But you wrote, one of the big fallacies is, if I share my why, people will buy.
Makes me crazy. It makes me crazy, because I think people take a great piece of advice of understanding your why and knowing how it can guide your decisions as a marketing strategy. And it makes me just want to jump off a building, because just because you want to be a plumber and have your profits go to save the whales, doesn't mean that if you just tell people, I'm out here to save the whales, they'll choose you. You still have to have a great product, and you still have to have a great service. And if you're also doing good with it, people might choose you over someone else. But just the concept of why you're doing what you're doing, I see people substitute that as a marketing strategy. You're the marketing guy. I mean, do you know what I'm talking about here? It makes me insane.
Well, yeah, I think no one really gives a shit about your why until they know how you can make their life better.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
That's simply what it is. Like, people are going to work with you because they want to get from their current state, whatever that is, to their future desired state, whether that's buying a watch or a gym membership or going to a restaurant or watching a movie or working with a marketing agency to get more sales, whatever that might be, right? And they're not really going to care about your why. Maybe it's a little different in the nonprofit world, where those companies, their mission is to actually do a charitable why. And if you align with that, that's powerful. And I think if companies, socially responsible companies in 2021 are, in recent years, it definitely helps. It can help from a marketing standpoint and a sales standpoint, but you really need to get across how you're going to make that person's life better on what they actually really care about before they're going to buy into your why or care if you're saving the whales.
Yeah. And can we talk about the whales for a second? Like, they used to be a thing. You don't hear a lot of people talking about saving the whales anymore. I wish we could talk about that more. It's a differentiator. That's the thing. It's a differentiator. It's not a strategy.
Right.
So I totally agree with you. The social responsible part, huge. It can help you stand out from somebody else. But when I see someone run for office just on their why, and I think it's because people over-leverage the concept of just share what your why is and people will flock to you. Right. I don't think that's the case. So I definitely encourage people to know what it is. Love the book. Read the book.
Yeah.
But it isn't the lead story, in my opinion.
And that goes back to so many companies as well, just the way they present themselves and market themselves. And you go to their website and it's just, it's a lot of verbiage. It's a lot of verbiage on themselves. And you need some verbiage on yourself. You need to show credibility. You need to show that you're going to do good work or present a good product. But most of that verbiage should just be speaking directly to the customer and their pain points and alleviating those and their desires and how your product is going to essentially do that and the value it's going to provide, opposed to, hey, we do this. It's a family business that was started in 1920 and we're local. And it's like, that's all feel good stuff, but you can't lead with that. You can't lead with that.
Yeah. For all your car care needs, right? Exactly. Like, okay, thanks. Please drive through.
I guess we did touch on that. Any other advice on how to differentiate your business, things that you've seen working very well for your small business owners? We did just touch on, from a messaging standpoint, and really,
I think you can focus on a certain audience and understanding that you're going to perform your product for a certain audience. We talked about that not being pigeonholed. Having your why be a little bit of a differentiator is great. The process in which you deliver can also help as well. You can have a delivery schedule or a delivery methodology or a delivery method that's different than everyone else. You're going to deliver the product to their house. You're going to get something to them in 72 hours. You're going to not charge shipping. You're going to whatever it might be. So you can perform the same product as everyone else, but you could deliver it or fulfill that product. That customer experience could help set you apart as well. So it's not just who the customer is. It's not just what the product is. It can also be how you deliver that product differently than everyone else. And sometimes those extra delivery touch points are things that can really help you stand out from the competition.
And then pricing. Touch on that. A lot of small business owners struggle with pricing.
Yeah. If you're still in corporate thinking about being a small business owner, or you're working for someone else thinking about going out on your own, I would bet you're going to go about thinking about your new business this way, because this is how I did it as well. Hey, I want to make X. I've got this many hours to work each week. That means I need to make this much per hour. It's that basic evaluation of what it takes to go out on your own. Makes total sense. Then the next layer of analysis might be, well, you know, competitors or people that would be my competitors charge Y. So I bet I could charge around that, or maybe a little bit less, a little bit more, whatever it might be. And then another way to do it is to think about, okay, how much value am I delivering when I provide the service? And that's what I would encourage people to think about. Instead of thinking about what you need to make or thinking about what other people are charging, think about what is the value of the service, the transformational service or product that you provide, and realizing that I can save them $5,000 and then price from there. I wouldn't price it at $5,000.
Right.
But if that product is normally charged at $499, but you can save them $5,000, thinking about that $5,000 as your starting point and then pricing off of that, it changes your messaging, it changes the conversation with the client, and it stops you from starting small and increasing your prices. You're really thinking about what is the overall value you're providing to the customer that you're serving. So that's what I encourage people to think about. And oftentimes, I didn't do it this way. Oftentimes, people don't come at it from that direction. What happens when someone works with me? How much is that worth? And starting your pricing evaluation from there.
Yeah, I think that's spot on, especially in the services businesses, to try and get away from the hourly model and go with more of a value-based approach. I think it does take a little while to get there. You need to be able to show that value, and you need to have the skills to provide a massive amount of value. But
on that note, one of the reasons why you can't come at it from how much time you're going to spend is that you can't scale your time, especially if you're just starting out. If you start charging by the hour, it's very difficult to manufacture more hours in the day.
Well, you need to hire more people.
You can hire more people, but if you're the one, especially in a service-based business, let's say you're a coach, a consultant, a therapist, or whatever it might be, there are only so many hours that you can perform what you're doing before two things happen. You run out of the ability to increase your revenue overall, and you just get tired. It's another thing I don't think a lot of people talk about when it comes to especially solopreneurs, is that the biggest threat that I see is not necessarily running out of capital, not necessarily running out of customers. It's just the mental grind and the mentality to keep going to generate the revenue.
Yeah.
And it's something that I don't think a lot of people talk about. I wish more people did, because it is for real, especially for solopreneurs.
Do you think a lot of them get burnt out because they think they're going to be a solopreneur and they can just basically do the delivery, and then they end up with all the other stuff that comes with owning a business, which is quite a bit.
Is all the stuff. What's the quote? Right. Like, I quit my 9-to-5 so I can work 24/7.
Yeah. Right?
That whole mentality. Yeah, they get burned out because they perform the thing, but they have to do everything else. They don't realize that there's a lot more that goes to it than just performing the service. But it wears on you, especially when the first of the month comes, and that means your income goes to zero, or you lose all of your clients and need to go find more. It's a treadmill sometimes. So I really hope that especially solopreneurs that might be listening to this are doing their self-care, are taking care of their outlook, they have realistic goals, and they're making sure that they're in touch with how they're feeling, because how they're feeling can sometimes be as important as how they're doing with the performance of the business.
It's hard to perform if you're not taking care of yourself mentally and physically, mm-hmm. I think.
For real.
Especially in, if you're starting a business, and usually it always takes a lot more time, energy, and money to actually get it off the ground and to a point where you're happy with it or making a decent amount of money or any money doing it.
Any money.
Yeah.
Money is good. I like it when it comes in. Sometimes it doesn't come in as much as we'd like, and especially at the start.
No, that's happened with like every iteration of this company. I started this as a daily deal site, and we got some good activity, but it was burning cash, and it was great execution on a shitty business model is what I would call it. And it just didn't work out. Then we pivoted to a marketing agency, and that took a while. And then the podcasting thing, when I launched that in 2018, after seeing what it did for this business and how much it helped this business grow, I was like, oh, we're a really small business, and it helped us this much. If a larger brand start doing this, like, they're at a certain scale where this is going to be so good for them. And we launched that. We got a lot of press, a lot of notoriety, and we didn't have a single customer for like 6 months doing that. It takes a lot of time, sweat, and energy to actually get traction as a business owner. And that's not talked about a ton. You see the end result. You see the people at the finish line. You see the guy who started a company, and in 2 years he cashed it out for $20 million. Right. Our neighbor Josh, right over there, CBD company, founded it like 3 years ago and sold 80% at a $20 million valuation, which, like, fucking good for you, Josh.
Yeah, good for you.
That's the typical story that gets the magazine cover, and that's a 1 in a million type story. And there was about 15, 17 years of work behind the scenes before he started that company in that industry. So I think people don't realize it was not the overnight success story. I just painted it as in those 2 minutes.
And a lot of times the small business is literally creating your own job, creating your own future and your own job. And it's not investable for other investors to come in and throw money at you. So very few other people are going to care about your success like someone that has a company that they can sell portions of for millions and millions of dollars. If you're really good at starting your own small business, you might create a comfortable living for you and your family.
Yep.
That's fantastic. But that means a lot of people don't care about you and your success. So a story like you were sharing.
Yeah, and it all comes down to what someone wants. If they want to be a one-man band, which I know you work with a number of, you can have a good quote-unquote lifestyle business. You're never going to get any scale off of it. Sometimes you get burnt out because you are implementing the work and you're dealing with all the business stuff, but there's nothing wrong with that. Segueing, we talked about a little bit of the burnout and how much things people actually have to do as business owners. When do you know when to outsource? Can you touch on outsourcing? A lot of people are very hesitant to start outsourcing.
Outsourcing is a complete secret weapon. And the way I feel about it is, you need to outsource faster than you think. And if you are doing your own thing and you don't have at least a virtual assistant, you don't have someone that's helping you do something, you're already behind. Because the thought process goes like this: I don't want to hire a virtual assistant or someone to outsource because I can't afford it. Well, I would bet, doing whatever it is you do, you can find someone to do what you hate to do and what you're no good at doing for less per hour than what you charge. So if I'm charging $30 an hour, I can find someone to do it for $15. Every hour I give them to do stuff I hate to do and I'm no good at doing, I make $15 because I can spend that hour going to do something else. So I'm a giant advocate of virtual assistants, outsourcing, however you can get the work off your plate that is not in your zone of genius. It is your obligation, I think, to do that.
Oh yeah. And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, or at least in my case, they skew more on that visionary, creative, big idea, go out and sell it type of thing. Yeah. And at least for me, in a lot of those cases, they don't have that operational skill set, that organizational skill set, and their business is usually a shit show behind the scenes. At least that was in my case. And then I know you talked about hiring virtual assistants or outsourcing bookkeeping, stuff like that. That's important. But even at a bit of a higher level, when you get to that point, like I brought on Veronica, our ops person, 3 years ago, maybe 3.5 or so. And that was a big leap for me to hire a healthy salary benefits, essentially non-revenue generating position at that point in time. and it was worth every penny. And once she was on, for I was like, fuck, I should have done this a long time ago, just because I was so bad at bookkeeping. I thought I was good at managing people, but I'm not. I'm a very non-confrontational person. I'm a pretty disorganized person. I'm not good with accountability, stuff like that, traits like that that mm-hmm. make good managers. I have some good leadership qualities, but it was that really freed me up to do more of what I'm good at to an extent. And I think the sooner, like you said, you didn't say this, but I know you meant it, like fire yourself from those positions that you don't enjoy and you're not good at, the better off you're going to be.
Think about the last few deals you did. Those deals probably started because they got to know you and you got them daydreaming about what could happen if they worked with you. And you did your skills, which are irreplaceable. That time was made by having someone to do the stuff that you didn't like to do and self-acknowledged you weren't good at doing.
Right.
And that's the first way to scale if you're a small business owner. You have to have people around you to do the stuff that you're not very good at. And it feels like a huge expense. I remember hiring my first virtual assistant. I now got three and I love them all. They're my favorite people on the planet. But I remember when the credit card invoice came in the first time, thought, oh my gosh, $300. How am I going to pay this? After 3 or 4 months, I didn't even think about it again because revenue had grown. My stress level went down. Again, if you're a solopreneur, it gets easier. Thing.
Yeah.
Right? Everything gets easier and you start moving faster. You have more meetings. You do more of what you're on the planet to do. So I'm a giant advocate of bringing in especially virtual assistants, but then people as soon as you can.
Yeah. The Idea Collective Retreat, smallbizretreat.com, November 5th through 7th, Lake Geneva. You want to chat about that for a couple minutes? What can people expect? Who should be attending this event?
Here's the concept. Fat cat CEOs go to Palm Springs and daydream about their business and no one bats an eye. Small business owners, we're up to our neck running our business 24/7. When do we get to stop the world and go work on our business, not in our business? The reason why it's in November is so we can stop the world for a weekend and think about what are we going to do in 2022 to change how things are going? How are we going to grow the business? How are we going to make it more enjoyable to run it? How are we going to make these power partnerships so we can take things wherever we want them to go? That's the concept. And I had never seen it done before, so that's why we're doing it. It's built off the Idea Collective, which is a community for small business owners that exists to make everyone's road just a little bit easier. So it's 2.5 days, Grand Geneva Resort. Friday is all about connecting and getting to know people, really taking a retreat day. There's a spa, there's hiking, and we're just going to keep on putting it out in the universe. It's going to be warm enough weather that we can go play golf, right? That's going to be a thing on Friday the 5th. A celebration dinner that night so we can go and celebrate our success from 2021. Because another rant, I won't go on it. We don't stop enough and really celebrate the good things that happen in our small business. And when you don't stop and celebrate your wins, everything is terrible because you don't even think about the good stuff that's happening. So Friday night's about that celebration. Saturday. What's that?
You can go on that little rant. It is true though, like small 100%. Business owners, because there's always more shit to do or other shit going on that if you get a win, there's still like, it just doesn't end really.
No, it never ends. And if you don't celebrate those things, you forget they even happened. So how was your week? The first thing you're going to think is, my week was terrible. I got all these problems. I got the thing and the guy I got to call back. You're not stopping to think, I got to go hang out with Richie. This is awesome. I got to...
I hope you had better highlights than that.
Well, it was just one of the highlights.
I appreciate being mentioned.
But I got the deal I was looking for. I got the whatever it might be. If you don't stop and think about that stuff, it just goes away. And when you're doing your own thing, especially, no one's going to remind you. And when we talk about that ongoing mental health, that treadmill for small business owners, if you don't put those investments into your mental health bank, it just becomes a burden and it gets heavier and heavier and heavier. Anyway.
And I know we were kind of ripping on Senek earlier with his Start With Why. But that whole concept that people take and use in the wrong ways,
we think.
His concept of the infinite game was a good one where most things are like finite and there's a winner and a loser, but game of business, unless you sell the company and you're out after that, it really doesn't end. And I think it's important to recognize those wins. I know I'm naturally not that great at it, but it's not good for team morale, especially if you have a team too, if you're not doing some of that stuff. So
right, because you're not even acknowledging the good work they did. If right. you're in the grind mindset, you're not stopping to say, wow, that was a really good job that we did. We got the client. We hit the quarter. We hit the year. You're just on to the next thing.
Right.
So on Friday night, we're going to stop and have the celebration dinner. Swanky dinner, overlooking the golf course, steak, champagne, fancy, right? Only designed to have everyone obsess about the good stuff that happened. The next day on Saturday is a full-blown conference day from dawn until dusk, conference day. And we're bringing in my favorite marketing person on the planet, Jesse Cole from the Savannah Bananas, the guy that's completely ruining sports marketing for everybody else. This guy bought this college baseball team, summer baseball team that had no fans, and he is obsessed with the customer experience. And through his design of the Savannah Bananas customer experience, he's selling out a stadium. He's got a 4-year season ticket waiting list, and he's crazy fun. He'll be there in person. He kicks off that day. The rest of the day is all about marketing presented by the American Marketing Association in Milwaukee. That's where you're going to be on stage. Let's talk about what you're going to talk about, because the guy's going to be on the stage.
You can't put me on the spot. There will be good actionable takeaways for the small business owners. I don't want it to be fluff. It's going to be a lot of what's working now for our clients that'll appeal across the board.
It's true. But you're going to be there on the stage.
I will be there on stage. Awesome. I will be there on stage. I have not wrote my speech yet. I still got a month to do that. Yeah.
Got a month, but I'm sure it's going to be good. Just roll out the ball. You'll be fine. But we're talking about how to get referrals. We're talking about how to perfect your pitch. We're talking about how to be a great guest on podcasts or how to host your own podcast or videos. And then in the afternoon, we switch from marketing to mindset. And we're talking about how to turn a business around. We're talking about how to lead your people. We're talking about how to get past your mental blocks that are holding your business back. And then that afternoon, we have a speaker that I can't even believe that we have. When we said we were going to do the retreat, we said to everyone, who do you want more than anybody? And the person they told us was Mel Robbins. And Mel Robbins is the biggest keynote speaker on the planet. She's our afternoon keynote. She's going to come in virtually because she's not traveling right now. She just released her new book, The High Five Habit. But she's going to tell us about her new book. She's going to then do over an hour of Q&A with the guests in the room live. So she'll be on the big screen. You'll have the microphone. You might get a chance to ask her your small business question. And it's just going to be awesome. That's just Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, we're going to have a barbecue, have a few beers. And then Sunday morning, we've got free laser coaching with Coaches Culmination of Milwaukee. So you can sit down with a coach and ask your questions about your business for 22. And then a goal planning seminar where we're going to actually set our goals for 2022. So Friday is about meeting new power partners, relaxing a little bit. Saturday is about learning and filling those gaps, especially with marketing and mindset. And then Sunday is all about goal setting and getting ready for 2022.
I like it. Is Brad Herta going to be there?
Brad Herta is going to be there.
Saturday. I saw he was on a dive bar crawl around Milwaukee last night, probably prepping for the barbecue. I think that guy's going to do some damage.
He's going to wreck it
at that thing.
I didn't get an invite for that. Did your invite show up for that? I didn't see my invite for that.
I've commented on Facebook, what does someone have to do to get an exclusive invite? You think, you know, you help him win a golf tournament and he'll at least invite you on his dive bar palooza, but it didn't happen. So anyway, okay, everyone, that is smallbizretreat.com. Pat Miller will be there. I'll be there. And that's Pat Miller, the Idea Coach, sponsored by Quick Trip.
Quick Trip, baby.
That's right.
Let's pair Leinenkugel's and Quick Trip. We'd have a real party, man. Let's do that.
I like it.
Sounds good. Absolutely. Thanks for having me, man. It's great to see you.
That was good seeing you too. And just a reminder, this podcast was brought to you by Go Get It Marketing and Media, ggmm.io, and our good friends at On Milwaukee. And if you got value out of this, please share with your friends, write a review, subscribe. Helps us get more ears and eyes on the show. Thanks for joining us.